Zombie takeout's always better with someone else around, you know.
Hello and welcome to Zombie Takeout, the B movie and cult movie show. I'm John.
And hello, I'm Scotto.
I did a whole NPR style intro trying to throw Scott off. It did not work. It'll probably be an outtake.
Yeah.
Before we get to this week's movie, we have some listeners submitted from Bodo. This is a voicemail he left us.
Hey, Bodo here. House. 1986. If I was you people, I'd make the mistake that I make and watch the Japanese version of The House. Toho production. Definitely, you could see some Godzilla, Affleck's, little speech impediments. Some of the Godzilla scenery that they use. It's definitely much better. It is subtitled, but it's a hell of a lot better movie. 90% Rotten Tomatoes, and it's worth every Rotten Tomato. Anyway, what can you say? It has a little Cheers, a little Night Court, homage to Evil Dead 1 and 2, Tentacles, Twilight Zone the movie, but none of the good stuff. Just all the cheesy crap. And I could definitely see where Snow Day got their zombies from. Anyway, not very good. I would rate it maybe 2.5 brains. Anyway, you guys are the best. Glad you guys are back. Peace.
Thank you, Bodo, and thank you for letting us know about the Toho version.
yes.
It's from 77, unrelated, similar stories. The Toho version, it's a schoolgirl who brings, like, high school girl who brings six of her classmates to her aunt's house to avoid spending time with her creepy dad. And, of course, her aunt's house turns out to be haunted. So, unrelated, but the trailer looks absolutely batshit insane, so we'll definitely be reviewing it at some point.
The trailer reminded me of that Monkees movie we did, Head.
Yeah, kind of.
Only like a horror version of Head, which Head really could have been a horror movie really easily if they had just changed a few things around.
Mm-hmm. Also, Bodo left us another voicemail letting us know that he was diagnosed with COVID-19, so we just wanted to say, hope you recover quickly.
Yeah. Yeah, no, I've had a lot of friends and family and coworkers that have all been diagnosed, and most have had some pretty good easy recoveries, but some of it's been a long time.
I only so far, Bodo's only the second person I know who's been diagnosed. The other being our friend Ruben, who sailed through it.
I actually forgot about Ruben. Yes, Ruben had it. That's true.
Yeah. Bodo's only a little bit older than us. I'm sure he'll be fine.
Yeah.
Anyway, on to this week's movie, which is from 1986, House. This kicks off the House trilogy. We're only doing the first three, even though there were four. I'm not sure why.
I don't know either. I don't even know anything about the third or fourth one. I didn't even know they existed until we started researching this.
Maybe we'll do four. Maybe we'll actually slip the Japanese one in after. We'll see.
Just everything House related. We'll do a TV show about the Hugh Laurie show.
Oh, God.
I don't know.
And of course, that brings us to the impromptu plot summary, sponsored by Blood Dance, the latest novel by Robert Jacob. It's a great book, man. You'll treasure it always.
And also brought to you by Roger Cobb novels in general. Is there such a thing as method writing? All right, so we have, and they take that part of The Shining where it is an author just looking for some quiet, but he goes into this knowing there's something fucked up about the house.
Just to explain The Shining reference, one of my prospective titles was The Shining Light, LITE.
Right, he, The Shining, of course, that plot is the author, gets this gig as caretaker to the hotel, but, he doesn't know the stories about it and is kind of, blindsided by the evil that's under the place.
Or was he?
Oh, that's right. I don't remember that in the book either. I've read the book.
Okay. The ending of the movie is different in the book.
Hmm.
Anyway. We're not talking about The Shining.
That's right. He knows there's something wrong with the house. And he goes in there fully with that full knowledge. And he of course picks up some more information while he's in there, but he knows there's something wrong. He's had really painful memories in there himself already, but yet decides to go back in.
Mm-hmm.
And of course it lays out the perfect question of, is the house really haunted or not even haunted, really? It's right. Just there's something, you know, some sort of dimension door there, it turns out. You know, I don't know if it's like a spoiler or not.
And for a while they kind of play it off like it's just his imagination, but then his neighbor sees one of the monsters.
Right. Until that point, you're not sure whether he's just crazy or there's something really happening, which they do a pretty damn good job of, honestly, because he's acting pretty crazy.
Yeah.
Yeah, when he goes on about raccoons and stuff, he's out there. He's also having Vietnam War flashbacks.
The book he's writing is what's based on his memories of fighting in the Vietnam War.
Right, but you kind of get the feeling he's having these flashbacks anyway, and he just has to write this to get this out. Because, I mean, nobody wants a book about Vietnam is pretty much what his publisher tells him. And but he's insisting that he has to write it anyway.
Although I remember 86, and at that point and just before, every action movie show hero on TV was a Vietnam vet.
Very true. Very true. I mean, I think we're just getting into like the Rambo.
Mm-hmm. I'm thinking Magnum PI, A-Team.
That's true. That's true. Magnum PI and the AT.
There were a bunch of others.
And I think we're around the time of Full Metal Jacket and I'm trying to remember the other one now. Platoon.
Right.
Like they're both out around the same time. So it was just kind of like this glut of Vietnam War. But true, as it came to books, I think there were only maybe one or two that I could think of at the time that everybody was really reading, and it was more about the generals or the higher ups who finally wrote tell-alls at the time. But anyway, so he goes into this with the full knowledge. His aunt killed herself in this house. He lost his son. His son disappeared from this house, and you could tell things, you know, pushed him over the edge, and it led to the divorce of his wife. And, you know, so he goes into this to write his book and, I guess, figure out what the deal is with the house. It's almost like he wants to solve this mystery. And, of course, the weird thing about this is it isn't just it turns out not just be a haunted house. There are just different forces in this house. And I think what made it interesting was that they were independent of each other.
Yeah. And a lot of them seem to be specifically targeting him.
Yes. He meets a vision of his aunt who tells him that the house tricked her. And you know, it kind of plays a game with you. And it tricked her into killing herself.
Right. They aren't just, you know, random ghosts reliving their deaths or just, you know, random spectral fuckery. They are specifically targeting his weak spots.
Right. It knows you and it knows your weaknesses and it's going to, you know, get you too. Mm-hmm. And then gets to watch her kill herself again, pretty much. So there's a nosy neighbor that is pretty much his only lifeline outside world, and probably... he probably would have gotten killed had it not been for him in the end. He calls and tells, he visits him and, you know, looks in on him, even though he doesn't really want him to, because he's trying to figure out this mystery and maybe write a few things. And he winds up sneaking his telephone book out, like, you remember when people had those?
Oh, God. not the big bell telephone, thick type phone book, his personal little address book.
Yeah, a little address book that he left lying around on the table. And he calls his ex-wife, who happens to be like a soap opera actress, and which is the only way you realize that the happy ending is imminent, because if she were dead and missing, because she appears to him and then turns into like some demonic creature, and
If he had really killed her, the production would be looking for her and would be suing somebody.
and you'd be on the news, like
Well, yeah,
actress
true.
missing, and yeah, there it's, you know, once you see that there's no, like, none of that, you're kind of like, is that, was that really her? But he disposes of the body, but does he? So he goes through and fights off a lot of the demons in the house. It turns out to be the final heavy is his buddy from Vietnam that he finally reveals that he couldn't kill when they were in the field, and of course
His
that left him
CO
being
had got, I
captured.
kind of got the impression he was, superior officer, was injured and was saying, kill me before they get me. He couldn't do it. And so his CO got taken away by the enemy.
Well, that wasn't a CO. That was just his buddy.
Oh, okay. I kind of got the
They were
impression they were outranked.
on the perimeter themselves, and yeah, he right, he wanted to him to kill him. He wanted your greatest American hero to kill Bull. Bull, and he couldn't do it. They were kind of buddies, and he just couldn't bring himself to killing his friend. And how do you do that when you've got a knife? What's the least painful way of doing that to someone? How much better is that than being tortured by the Viet Cong and
Speaking of, as the person here who actually has a knife collection, I'll refrain from answering that question.
good, good. So yeah, he takes the form of the final heavy, and he goes on a quest for his son to recover him, and hilarity ensues.
Now, the protagonist, as you mentioned, is or alluded to, is played by William Catt, aka the greatest American hero. I in my trivia, I read that he had auditioned as for Luke Skywalker and was actually the front runner before Hamill showed up.
Really?
Yeah, he was being seriously considered, but Hamill ended up first going to Mark Hamill. I think he would have made a better Luke.
Honestly, you know who I had heard actually was a front runner for Luke Skywalker, even over him, was Robert Englund.
Wow.
Freddy
Interesting.
Krueger himself,
Well, I
yeah.
was actually going to go with the other reference, but the name, but I blanked on the name. Willie.
Yes, Willy. Of course, Willy the friendly alien from V.
But back to the movie.
Yeah.
Loved the kind of creepy, disjointed opening music and this weird, affected images. Gives it a really good horror vibe right at the beginning.
The whole cello-y intro.
Although it opens with this scene of this guy in a moped delivering groceries to the house, but basically to find out that the that his aunt had killed herself.
Yes.
He's only got one bag of groceries. In early 2021, that is hilariously quaint.
Yeah, but it is just an old lady, just who knows how she probably doesn't eat much.
There are two people living here. We've got like we had a delivery yesterday. We got like six bags sitting out in the front in the sun porch. So, it was just really adorably quaint. It was odd that they jumped from him looking at the house with his realtor to like this flashback of his kid disappearing, though. That really threw me.
Yeah, the beginning of this movie, like the first about 20 minutes, is very slowly paced and very strange too, and awkward. It's not until, of course, George Wendt shows up that, like, the
Okay, now we
movie
know what this is gonna be.
gets going.
But they just jump to this flashback with no warning and with no they never tell you they didn't I think you mentioned he was divorced. Never mentioned the
Yeah.
kid. So we get the scene where the kid disappears, and it's just really confusing.
It is. Because you're like, wait, what is this now? Is this when? And I think it wasn't until I read the IMDb some plot summary where it was he disappeared while he was visiting his aunt, because
Oh, okay, they were visiting.
he has a room there though. Like they of course left intact. Like it looks like a kid's room. I mean, would you really have that in just your aunt's house that you come to visit?
Well, if she babysat a lot and if they visited quite often, I could see that.
Yeah, I guess so. But the house, I'm sure, was pretty fucked up before that.
And then, they come out of the flashback, him and the realtor start talking about the house again. The realtor picks up a harpoon gun, damn near shoots him in the throat, and then says, "Oops, sorry."
Oops, sorry about
What? They're just
He's
very
just
casual
staring
about
back
this
at him
near
like.
homicide.
Yeah, he's just staring back at him like, what the fuck?
And he's moving into this house where his son disappeared and then where his aunt hanged herself.
Right. That's what I'm getting at. Like, The Shining, I feel Jack was ambushed, you know?
True. I
Jack
mean, ending
walked into a
aside,
trap that he did not know.
possible implications of the ending of the movie aside. Yes.
But this guy signed on to face this.
Right. Yeah. Because he needed inspiration for a book about, or needed to buckle down and really focus on writing a book about his experience in Vietnam. Maybe he thought The Haunting would bring out, the horrors of war somehow.
And he was correct. He did start writing when he went in because he was not getting shit done. He was on the title page. Anytime they showed him writing, which he thought was just kind of like a, they just not want to show him writing, but no, he was just stuck.
And as a writer, I totally get that.
Yeah.
It's a very relatable feeling.
Wrestling with the blank page.
Richard Mall was a nice surprise because I knew George Wendt was in the movie. I did not know Richard Mall was in it.
Honestly, the only thing I can remember about the sequel to this is John Ratzenberger. I don't think he's got as long a part as he should, but John Ratzenberger fucking steals the next one, if I remember.
So
But I
it.
forgot entirely that George Wendt and Richard Mall were in this, and thank God they were too, of
Yeah,
course.
well, there's hope that the next one will be at least will be better, hopefully. And the fact that he could turn off a hallucination with the TV remote kind of really does suggest it's all in his head. Because he's sitting there watching TV, he turns off the TV because I think it like switched to his ex's soap opera or something. He turns it off, and then he sees his son in the window, and it's clearly like it's staticky and it's clearly a hallucination. Grabs the remote, turns that off.
I don't even think I noticed that he turned the reflection of the mirror window off. I
With
th
the
I guess
remote.
I assumed he was seeing that in the TV, but
Now, I watched the scene a few times to make sure it wasn't the TV, and it was. He had turned the TV off just
huh.
before. It was just this weird scene they threw in. Now, I have to admit that the monster in the closet, the first time it jumps out, did startle me. That was a good
It's
jump scare.
an interesting looking creature they made there.
Loved the camera setup he had to film it.
Yes, 1985 cutting edge technology.
He had like six cameras lined up to try to film this monster to get it on camera to get proof of it. He's kind of practicing. His plan is to use a string to open the door, and then the cameras are gonna go off. And
That might
he,
be one of the best looking creatures
yeah.
that they had in this too. Like, I
Oh,
mean, the demon
yeah.
towards the end was a was pretty was wasn't bad, but like the other creatures, I don't know, they looked
It
funnier
varied.
than.
A total of seven monsters were designed and fabricated for the production. These creatures were constructed by 17 special effects artists over a period of 3.5 months. The War
Wow.
Demon, which I'm assuming is Maul's character at the end.
Oh yeah. You know,
There's a war demon.
Didn't think about him as an effect.
Was an elaborately built puppet measuring 18 feet, fully mechanized, operated by 15 people, and featuring a fully functioning working lower bowel, fully functioning lower bowel system.
Wow. So wait a minute, would that be, you think that's Big Ben, or do you think that's the flying demon that he was in the pit like against?
They call it the War Demon, so I figured it was Big Ben.
Yeah, maybe you're right. Yeah,
I think
maybe
the
that is him.
18 feet is not, foot to toe, or feet to head. He was just, he's Richard Maul's height, like, six something. But I think the was it, 18 feet was the additional stuff they needed to operate him, probably.
Okay.
I'm just guessing on that because he was actually, the part we saw was only about Richard Maul's height, probably like 6'8" or something. The first when they we first see that camera setup, he's practicing for trying to get this shot of the monster. He has the string in his hand. He lets it go and he mimes pulling the string to open the door, and then runs out of the house in fatigues. Vaults, throws the door open, vaults onto the sidewalk in front of his house with his hand up, looking like the guy in the platoon box art.
Right.
That, and then of course Went come steps out and he sees him. Loved that; it was hilarious. He goes back into practice again, and Harold, his neighbor, George Wendt's character, just kind of wanders into the room with a midnight snack. Harold just let himself into the house and went upstairs.
I know. It was like the doors. Why would he lock anything?
And okay, even if he left it open when he went back in, who just walks into someone's house and upstairs into, into one of their rooms?
He kind of thought that maybe George Wendt was going to be like a stalker, since he
Yeah.
was a fan and had tattered pages in his pocket of a
Right.
book, which was really
He was
weird.
a big fan of Rogers.
Yes.
I'll also notice something interesting. Sandy's daytime phone number was not 555. It was 954.
I noticed that.
Always surprises me when a number in a TV or movie, a TV show or movie isn't 555. Now, one thing I have to give the movie credit for, it predicted the Big Mouth Billy Bass.
Oh yeah.
He's got this
I didn't.
swordfish on his mounted on his wall that gets possessed, and it moves just like a Big Mouth Billy Bass.
Now, Bodo brought up about Evil Dead. This is before Evil Dead 2.
Oh yeah, okay. What was the year in Evil Dead 2?
That was like 87.
Oh wow. Okay.
I mean, this is after Evil Dead 1, of course,
Yeah.
and I'm trying to remember. I don't remember Evil Dead 1 having all that many effects.
No, it was mostly just the monster cam.
Right.
Evil
Evil
Dead
Dead
1
2
was the
was the
serious,
hand and the.
yeah.
Yeah.
Evil Dead 1 was the serious attempt at what they did comedically in Evil Dead 2 with a much better budget. One had
Yeah.
practically no budget, which is why we get the monster cam. It's mostly
Right.
monster cam and like the tree rape, and that's it for effects.
Right. Yeah, exactly. So, yeah, two had like the moose head laughing and the hand and all the other crazy stuff.
Right.
Which, of course, this did the hand first, but I think somebody else did a hand before this. I can't remember who.
I mean, Possessed Hand is kind of, I mean, The Hand, the movie we did with Michael Caine.
Oh, right.
It's hell, it probably goes back to some Poe story.
I mean, you could say the Addams Family
Yeah,
started
it's kind of an obvious idea.
it.
Now, I'm nitpicking here, but the
Yeah.
scene where you think he killed his ex-wife because she turned into a demon, when he shoots her and she's on the pavement, he picks her up. There are no exit wounds.
No. There's no blood. Yeah, I mean, you would think that there would have been blood on the pavement
Point blank with
somehow.
a shotgun, no exit wounds. I mean, I don't
And
know
that was
much
a very
about
Edgar
guns,
Allan
but.
Poe scene.
Hmm?
That scene with the cops was very Edgar
Oh,
Allan
yeah.
Poe. telltale heart with
Right.
the cops, you know. Oh, look at this.
Yeah.
And then
Well,
George Wendt comes in and invites himself in too.
right. While his supposedly dead wife is sitting in the basement,
Yeah.
and there are two shotgun shells, that he dropped on the kitchen floor. But with the demon, of course, the demon comes back. The wife, the demon that his wife turned into, comes back and terrorizes him again. Earlier, there were these possessed garden tools that were chasing him around the house. He closes up this one door to stop them. He opens it again, and they go after the demon that had possessed his wife or was impersonating his wife. These shears just behead her. Love that.
Very Bugs Bunny, the whole thing.
Yeah.
I mean, it's the one thing I have to say about this movie is they did. You know how a lot of times I use this as a criticism against a movie where it didn't know what it wanted to do and it was all over the place. This movie was all over the place, but somehow made it work. It's suspense thriller, it's horror, it's comedy. Like, those are three really ambitious things to try to tie together.
Well, horror and comedy are
And,
fairly common.
well, now they are,
Well,
yeah.
that's true.
But
This was one of
how,
the early ones. That was kind of an 80s thing.
right, they weren't going for a Zucker Brothers thing. I
Right.
mean, they were just going for some slapstick, you know. I mean, it's post-Toxic Avenger, I believe, isn't it?
Maybe by a year or two. I think Toxie was 85 or 84, maybe.
84, yeah.
Okay.
So it's just around the same time. And yeah, so, but I mean, there were other Kaufman movies before this where, you know, they gave it a bit slicker look. And that crazy slow time in the beginning kind of does pay off in the end because you wouldn't give a fuck about any of these people if you didn't know what the situation was.
True.
But yeah, then to like bring this Bugs Bunny stuff in the middle of it, you're just like, wait, what?
Though I do have to, speaking of that beginning part, just briefly, I do have to criticize the wardrobe a little bit. Because he's walking around in this ridiculous V-neck sweater with no shirt on underneath. They were clearly just trying to show off William Katt's pecs. Like, it goes down to his breastbone. Just looked ridiculous.
It's the 80s, man.
Yeah, true.
I had a sleeveless shirt somewhere.
Well, I had plenty of muscle shirts. It was a thing. I mean, I pushed myself around in a wheelchair. I got decent arms, so why not show them off? But a V-neck down to, the breastbone with no shirt on. Yeah, I guess that is kind of, it's actually a 70s thing.
Yeah.
But it held over, I guess. Now, there was another B&E I gotta point out. Another one of his neighbors, a woman, just showed up in his pool one day. Like,
Right.
she was just randomly swimming in his pool one day.
Well, wait a minute. We just passed over one great scene from the movie.
Okay.
It's the weird juxtaposition of him hiding what might be his ex-wife's body that he dismembered into many different pieces in his backyard with the Linda Ronstadt song, You're No Good.
Yeah. And he's in the middle of doing that when the neighbor, he sees the neighbor in his pool. And so he's got, the body in a bag. And then, the neighbor reveal, is tense. She's in his pool and explains that, his aunt just let her swim whenever she wanted to, so she just let herself in.
And the neighbor is literally a Bond girl. Like she was just in A View to a Kill
Oh, okay.
right before this.
Love that, after he kind of shoos her away, we cut, there's a little bit of a time jump to when he's done with the burying, and there's like one bag turned into like eight holes.
Right, at least. I mean, it just goes throughout the whole. There's nothing but. Who could count all the hills that were in the yard? It was so obvious if he was trying to cover it up.
Also, loved just after that, the this neighbor brings her son over so he can babysit him. She's
Right.
basically just trying to use him.
Right, you think she's flirting with him, he's gonna get somewhere, and it was really just to make him a babysitter, which of course you found the worst babysitter in the
Yeah,
world. He's already lost one kid.
yeah. True. So when they show up at the house, the demon hand, the hand from the demon that his wife turned into, is on the kid's back.
Well, first the dog freed, and the dog was introduced early on. I love how they introduced him in the garbage can and then brought him back to torment him again by finding the demon's hand.
And then the hand ends up on the kid's back. He has this whole big French farce where he has to shoo the kid away. The kid goes running. He has to find the kid, and somehow get the hand off before his mother, the neighbor sees the hand on her son's back. Ends up in the bathroom, pulls it off, throws it in the toilet. I would not have believed that that hand would fit down a toilet if we didn't see it actually go down.
Or the water pressure, that place is fantastic. That's kind of when I figured out why he wanted to actually live in the house. Because if you have a place with water pressure that strong, you fucking hold on to it regardless of what kind of demon is playing around with it.
Loved the little clip of the soap opera that Sandy was on. They did a great job parodying soap operas.
Yeah.
And Roger sending Harold after the quote unquote raccoon.
Yeah, once he brings George Went into the whole what's really going on thing,
And
it's
that's when Harold sees the monster and proves it's not all in Roger's head.
you kind of wish they had done it earlier, just to have more time with them going up against the demons of the house.
And that all leads to another flashback because of course, Harold is supposed to shoot the monster with the harpoon gun from earlier, misses completely. Roger gets pulled into the other dimension, has the
That's
flash.
when they finally figure out they that's like the first time they give you a hint of what's actually going on here, is that he's pulled into another dimension, or I mean, you think it might be his mind, but it's really another place.
Well, the fact that Harold saw the demons does it proves that it actually does exist.
Yeah.
But he gets pulled in, and that's where we get the scene where he won't shoot his buddy in the war. We get a Richard Mall almost death scene, which is brilliant.
Yeah.
He comes back, Harold's sitting there with a bottle of Jack in his hand that is mostly empty.
Just passed out.
I think that's a pretty reasonable response to seeing that monster.
Yeah.
And Maul being the big bad was a really nice surprise because he had been kind of underused up to this point.
Definitely. Yeah. I mean, it's just the origin story, and yeah, he's introduced as the bad way too late, though, the heavy.
But it kind of worked, I think, because what else could you do with him? I mean, that chase could only last so long.
True.
That couldn't have been more really. Sorry, I just hit my mic. Sorry if it made a noise. That chase between the two of them couldn't have gotten on much longer than it did. It would have just gotten
That's
kind of
true.
tiring.
The big demon at the end, the other one, like when he's going after his son, I love how he twirls the shotgun you were like you're not expecting this. I mean, you're just expecting him to be demonic or whatever, or claw or slash, but he grabs the gun out of his hand and you think it's a defensive thing. And instead he twirls it around. It's like he's in a western. Starts plugging away at Roger.
And of course he rescues his son from the other dimension. And the ex-wife shows up to see him. I'm glad they didn't get back together.
Yeah. Although, I mean, who knows,
I mean, they left the door open. Maybe they did. You can have whatever headcanon you want. But in the context, in the space of the movie, the kid just runs out to his mother. They hug. There's a little smile between the two of them. That's it.
Yeah, and I maybe it's just, I mean, the way the world is right now, but I didn't mind the happy ending, actually.
That happy ending was nice, because the whole thing was about the disappearance of his son. He found out the kid, and I think it was pretty obvious that the kid had been pulled into the other dimension.
It is like he, because he beat the house, he gets the prize, kind of. He gets to put his life back together. I mean, the other, I mean, it's like a game of consequences. Either he gets his life back together or he winds up killing himself in the house.
But, they didn't go for that obvious plugged in, tick the box romantic ending,
True.
which I was happy about.
True, not just fitting in a so maybe we should go have dinner sometime.
Exactly. The door was open. There, this story is done. If you want to, just if that's where you want them to end up, that's fine. But they
I don't
didn't.
think he's in the sequel, no.
No, I think this is. Cat doesn't come back, I think, until the third one, which brings us nicely to sequels and remakes.
Yeah.
It was followed by three sequels: House 2, Second Story, which we'll be reviewing next week; House 3, The Horror Show, that we'll be doing the week after that; House 4, The Repossession. Maybe we couldn't find that online. Maybe that's why we didn't do it.
I don't know.
We'll see.
Like I said, I didn't know the other two
I will
existed.
look. House 3 is not a direct sequel, but I'm pretty sure I read that William Cat does come back for that one. He's not in the
He's
next
either
one.
back in three or four. I'm not sure which one.
He's not in the next one. On to Brains.
Out of brains.
I liked it, but not quite enough to recommend. 3.5.
It's a weird little movie. I mean, it's got so much in it, and I think they strangely make it work together. And of course, it's I think Maul and Went are worth the price of admission, so I'm going for.
All right, and what have we learned?
How ironic is it that Maul had to grow his hair from Night Court to play a soldier?
Wow. Yeah. I mean, Maul was, I mean, like I am now, bald in Night Court, completely shaved. So,
Yeah.
he had to
But
have a little
he's
bit.
playing a soldier. I think you're gonna have to grow your hair out a little bit for that.
And I learned that shotguns can kill things that are already dead. Because the swordfish was flopping around. He shoots it, and the swordfish stops moving.
That was his boomstick.
All right, that's it for House. Until next time, we'll be continuing the trilogy with House 2, the second story. Always remember, never forget, wherever you go in life, there you
There
are.
you are.
Hello, and welcome to Zombie Takeout, the B movie and cult movie show. I'm John.
And hello, I'm Scotto.
Didn't even phase you. I did like a fucking NPR thing. You didn't even react.
I'm like, wow, he's going for something different in 21, you know?
No, I'm just gonna take that again normal way.
All right.